What began as a virus here in China has now come across here to the United States and also over here to Italy and throughout our world. Definitely a pandemic that God has done and brought and allowed in our lives for a reason and a purpose we do not understand. We do know this, that it's His world, and we are here as His creations, His children, and God wants to do something in His world with us. So how do we make it through this time when really hope seems lost in so many areas? Maybe this morning you're thinking about your business. Maybe you're thinking about your job, your income, something out there that you've invested yourself in. Maybe you've seen a family member who has fallen ill with the threat of that even, and you're scared to go out. Maybe you're dealing with all kinds of fear and anxiety. We rest assured that God is still in control over His world. He created it. He knows everything that's going on in your life and in mine. I love this. It said that when I lose hope because my plans have come to nothing, then help me to remember, Lord, that Your love is always greater than my disappointments, and Your plans for my life are always better than my dreams. God has a great plan for us, even though we can't see everything happening right now. We find great encouragement from the book of Daniel, chapter 1. We need to get a little background about what's going on in Daniel's life. So King Jehoiakim was the king of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel at the time. And he had led Israel into idol worship. He had led them into pagan worship. He had allowed sin to run rampant over Judah. He came to his throne at the age of 25 years old, and he just let things get out of hand. He let people basically do what they wanted to do. And the people of God began to follow other gods and to allow sin to be incorporated into their world. So God gave them over to the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar actually laid siege to the city four different times on four different in those years. And then finally, he destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and then he led 15,000 captives away, carried them back for 1,000-mile journey back to the land over in Babylonia. Along with them were this young man, Daniel, and three of his friends that went along with him. And they were about 16 years old at this time. So let's pick up the story at the very beginning, the first part of the book of Daniel, chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice foods, from the wine that he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you will make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days, which the king has specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all of his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Let's pray together. Father God, today we just pray that you overshadow us with your grace. Lord, we need your favor in our lives right now. There are many who are watching and listening to this message, God. They need you to speak to them through your word. Lord, we lift you up today. God, you are ultimately in control of all of this. You be honored and you be praised by your people today, by the people of your world. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So there are four truths I want to share with you this morning from even this first chapter of Daniel and Daniel's life. And we begin to see how God, his favor, worked in Daniel's behalf. The first truth that we need to understand is that troubles and tragedies will arise in your life. We're not immune to the things that go on in this world. Christians are not exempt from the struggles of living through difficulties that bring hurt and disappointments and loss. We see this in the first few verses of Daniel. During the third year of the king Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, these are the people of God, the nation of God. We can see now that God has caused something to happen to his nation. Why? Because the people had turned their back on God. It says the Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects out of the temple of God. So God not only allowed them to be besieged and to be taken captive, he also gave them objects out of the temple. God allowed the king to do all of this. So even their faith was shattered. Maybe even their hope and their religious beliefs were shaken up. And God allowed this to happen to teach them a lesson. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. The Lord allowed Judah, the southern kingdom of his people, to experience a terrible tragedy. But why did he do it? There was a reason that God was allowing these things to happen. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 5 and 6 tells us this. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 5 and 6. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of God. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against him and bound him with bronze chains to take him to Babylon. So according to Scripture, the king of Judah had forsaken God and allowed all these evil things to take place in Judah. So the people turned from God and from pursuing a life dedicated to the Lord. Each person just began to do what they wanted to do. Kind of sounds like America to me. Kind of sounds like what we have been experiencing here. That so many people, God's people, have turned their back on God. And they began to do other things. Church wasn't important anymore. Bible reading wasn't that important anymore. Because there's so many other things in the world to do. Kind of a wake-up call for us. Can we begin to see ourselves in this picture? Remember, sin has consequences, whereas obedience to God has benefits. Sin always has consequences to it. Because of the king's rebellion against God and leading the people of Judah to live as they desire, the nation fell into this military siege and eventually to the invading army of the Babylonians. 15,000 people were taken away. You see, even the faithful paid for the sins of the unfaithful. Matthew chapter 5 tells us in verse 44 and 45, "But I say this to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rains on the righteous and the unrighteous." Listen, sin has consequences, and oftentimes even the faithful people of God pay for the things that those who are doing evil do. Bad things do happen to good people. Bad things do happen in the lives of believers. And many times it is the result of someone's poor decisions or actions. Sometimes it's troubles in a family that the family may endure because of someone in the family. They made a sinful decision, and it's affected all the family members. Sometimes families even feel captive to the consequences of the sin of that one member of this group of the family. And let's face it, there are some problems that arise in our lives. There's really no fault at all. It's not associated with anybody's choices. Illness, maybe a crippling accident, maybe medical problems, maybe a loss of a job, maybe loss of a business, unforeseen expenses, maybe death of a loved one. There's so many things that can happen that can just shake our world up. Many troubles, including this pandemic, sometimes just happen. We're all subject to the good and to the bad of this world. We're all subject to it. Yet as Christians, we realize that as we experience these things in life, we have Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we make it through this with hope. We make it through this because we know God is in control. We have triumphs in this life, and we have tragedies, but God is always in control. I love what Helen Keller said. She said this, "All of the world is full of suffering, but it's also full of overcoming." The second truth that we see is that you do not go through troubles and trials alone. We do not go through troubles and trials alone. Oftentimes we feel alone, especially that we're at our house, and if you're isolated there and you can't get out very much, the walls seem to be closing in sometimes. Listen, you're not alone. You may feel lonely, but you are not alone. The Lord is calling you to call out to Him. It's amazing how the presence of the Lord brings joy in our hearts that we truly are not alone. Even when there's no one else around, God is still with us. God does not leave you to experience troubles in your own power, wisdom, and ability. I'm so glad that God has not left us to only try to think our way through it, but that God is with us, helping us, giving us insight far beyond our own imagination and understanding. Verse 9 says, now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. So here Daniel was, taken away from his homeland in a foreign country, and yet God still showed favor on him and his friends. He experienced the savage brutality of war. Listen, Daniel probably even witnessed family members and friends killed in the war. Or maybe some have died on the 1,000-mile journey from Judah over to Babylon. Yet, Daniel didn't lose faith. He didn't lose faith in God. Even when his situation seemed hopeless, he still had faith in God. From a prison camp on the outskirts of Babylon. Listen, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were all chosen by King Nebuchadnezzar's chief officer to serve the king's governmental affairs. The king was making necessary changes to assimilate these Hebrew guys into his government. He was trying to change their culture and change their government and change their religion all at the same time, change their mindset. These four men were hand-selected because they were highly intelligent. They were handsome. They were strong. They were healthy. The chief of staff even tried to give them new names. Listen to the names that he gave them. Daniel's name meant God is judge. They changed it to Belteshazzar, which means Baal will protect. He's changing their names to all these idol gods, but God still protected them. Hananiah meant God is gracious. His name was changed to Shadrach, means inspiration of the sun. Mishael, whose name means God without equal, was changed to Meshach, which means belonging to Achaia. Azariah means the Lord is my helper. His name was changed to Abednego, servant of Nego. All of these pagan gods that their names were changed to, but yet God still was with them. God still was saturating in their soul. They still had faith in God that God would move them beyond the changes that were going on. King Nebuchadnezzar's goal was to change their identity and their way of thinking. Listen, through all the changes these young men were forced into, God was faithful and showed them favor when it was needed the most. You ask, where's God's favor for Daniel's tragedy in stripping all these things, including his identity, away? Listen, God allowed all of these changes to occur for his greater purpose. God is doing something in the life of Daniel and his four friends that Daniel can't even see yet. All he knows is he wants to be faithful to God. Can we say that today? We don't know what God is doing in his world. We don't know what we're going to look like 6 months from now. We can't foresee the future. But can we be faithful today and say, Lord, I know that you're in charge of all these things going on around me. Lord, we know that you've allowed this pandemic to hit our world. Lord, we know that we see it all around us. God, we're just making changes and adjustments, but God, change me. Make me more faithful. Lord, we trust you. This is what Daniel did. God allowed all of these changes to occur for a greater purpose and a greater reason. God had Daniel and his friends exactly where he wanted them. Their lives were in his full view. And we can take comfort and know that. Wherever you're watching this morning, God has you exactly where he wants you. He's got your attention because he's doing something great in you and through you. God has a greater plan in your life, in my life, in this world, our situation. He has a greater plan than what we're experiencing right now. God has your life in full view. God used their troubles to punish sin. And he also gave them triumph. And ultimately for the good of all humanity, as we will see. In Daniel's life, God allowed him to experience all these tragedies. But he was taking him somewhere. That's what's so good about this. Even today, in the latter part of March to 2020, here we are. We don't know what 6 months holds from now. But as Christians, we can know God's taking us somewhere. God is bringing us somewhere. Church, he's speaking to us. You see, God needed Daniel in Babylonia, not Judah, not Jerusalem, to fulfill his ultimate plan for humanity. God needed Daniel not in his comfort zone. God needed Daniel not where everything was great for himself and he can easily go to his worship. He could easily meet with his family and food was plentiful. No, God didn't need Daniel in his comfort. God needed to push him outside of his comfort in Babylon for his greater purpose and plan. And God is doing that with us today. He's pushing us way out of our comfort zone to show us something great. God worked his divine plan through Israel's failure. Through a failure, God still worked a plan. In all things, God can work. As Romans 8:28 reminds us, the Lord guided the safety and protection of Daniel for a reason. God never left him or his friends. Listen, I remember, I'm sure this young teenage boy, Daniel, remembered his parents teaching him and learning over at the temple about this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, where Moses tells Israel to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God is working his divine plan out in your life. He's working his divine plan out in my life. He's working it out in our nation. He's working it out in his world. God is working in our lives. Even though things may seem like a mountain too tall to climb, or a river too wide to swim, things may seem hopeless. Listen, God will make a way when it seems things have fallen apart. When there seems there is no way, God always provides. God always provides as we trust in him. Our troubles are part of his greater plan. His greater plan, God does not leave us to our own struggle, to our own intellect, to our own power, to our own ingenuity. The Lord goes with us. He goes with you and he goes with me. He is well aware of the situation each of us go through. He knows what you and your family are going through and experiencing. Psalm 139 tells us in verse 1 through verse 5 says, listen to the psalmist. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in from behind and before, and your hand is upon me. Get this. God knew about this pandemic before we were even born. God already knew what the storm it was going to bring in this world. He already knew it, and he's already there in it, and he's on the other side waiting for us. God never leaves us. He hems us in from behind and leads the way in the front. We do not walk this journey alone. The Lord is with you, and he's with me. He knows our struggles. He knows our hurts. He knows our disappointments and our frustrations. Listen, get up each morning. Let your feet hit the floor. Resting assured that God is in control of that day. Lay your head down at night in peace and sleep well, knowing that God is in control of your night. God gives you peace. He gives you courage. He gives you strength. Listen, it comes from His Holy Spirit in you. The third truth is this, is that resolve to be faithful to God, and He will guide your steps. Listen, when you start trusting in yourself, you're going to start seeing yourself slip and slide and go all over the place and eventually fall flat on your face. It says resolve to be faithful to God, and He will guide you. See, when you're obedient to God during troubling times, it will shine like stars in the darkest night. We see in verse 5 and verse 8, the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank. And he appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were enter the king's personal service. But, verse 8 says, Daniel made up his mind. You can underline that in your Bible. But Daniel made up his mind. You see the fortitude. You see the commitment. You see the decision. He made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. He made up his mind. That's what I'm talking about. That's faith. It's not emotion. Listen, it's everything that you are following God. Regardless of what my friends say, regardless of what my family says, regardless of what's going on around me, I will serve the Lord. Daniel held his kosher eating beliefs that he was taught. He held to the Jewish teaching, the Mosaic law. He knew the food of the king's table was not in the diet of his teaching and of his choice. It was not ceremonially clean for him, for his consumption. And Daniel pleaded with grace from these officials to remain true to his way of eating to honor God. Daniel was so committed to following God, he would risk his own life to stay committed. He sought favor. He was concerned about his relationship with God first before all the troubles around him. Catch that, church. When we put God first, God takes care of the rest. As long as you're putting everything else in front of God, then your life's going to be disarray. You're going to feel like you're in an ocean in a tiny, tiny boat going everywhere, up and down. But listen, Daniel made up his mind to be faithful to God, and no matter what cost, whatever it cost him, he was going to follow the Lord and listen to the favor that God gave him. Daniel just wanted to be faithful to God and clean before him. He just wanted to be obedient. Listen, in your time of troubles, please refrain from pondering all the problems that are present with the what might happen. And listen, dedicate yourself to simple obedience in Christ. Lord, regardless of what comes my way, I'm going to follow you, Lord. Regardless of what happens, I'm going to follow you anyway. Whatever you want to do in your world, Lord, I'm going to stay faithful. I've made up my mind that from this day forward, nothing will distract me. I'm following God. Despite what everyone would tell you, stay true. Despite what the news media is barking at you, despite whatever's coming out of Washington and Baton Rouge, just stay faithful to God. Stay focused on your relationship with Him first. Your obedience demonstrates that you really do trust God through all of your difficulties. Daniel, facing maybe even losing his own head, being killed right there at the moment because he wanted to go against what the king wished for, he still said, God is first and God will provide. Chuck Colson said, obedience is the key to real faith. You see, we can say we have faith, but unless we're being obedient to God, it doesn't show. Stay faithful to the Lord because why? Alan Redpath said it this way. Stay faithful to the Lord because there's some task which the God of all the universe, the Creator, your Redeemer, in Jesus Christ has for you to do, and which will remain undone and incomplete until by faith and obedience you step into the will of God. Oh, what a beautiful thought, that God has something out there waiting for you. Maybe you felt very small. Maybe you haven't been where God wants you to be. And today you're coming to that realization. Stay to the faith. Repent of where you've been, what you've done. God is already waiting for you with open arms. He's ready to receive you because he has something great for you to do out there that's not going to get done until you say yes to the Lord. The fourth truth is this. God will increase your faith and enlarge your portion. It's amazing when God, when you say yes to the Lord, he just strengthens your faith even more. When you say, I'm serving the Lord, this is what I'll do, he'll strengthen your faith even more. And he'll enlarge your portion. You see, obedience to God brings his blessings and an increase of your influence and impact. More lives for Christ. Listen to verse 17 and through 19, Daniel chapter 1. For these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them to his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with him and found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. You see the favor that God showed them. Whatever decisions you make today will have future impact and future effects. See, Daniel and his friends' decision to be faithful to God and to not defile themselves proved to have immediate, intermediate, and long-term effects. Their obedience to God first affected everything in their lives. It even affected things in your life. You see, their countenance was more appealing. Their health was superior. Their intellect, their knowledge, their wisdom was masterful. These young men greatly benefited by their obedience and their faithfulness to God. They were tested and proved to be excellent for royal service. Think about where they've been. Verse 20 says, the king questioned them, and he found them 10 times better than all of his musicians and enchanters. I'll get it right. In the whole kingdom. Daniel gained favor from the king of Babylon. He was wiser than all the magicians and all the enchanters who sought knowledge from demon sources, or maybe just trickery. Daniel showed so much more wisdom and understanding than they did. Daniel's wisdom and special knowledge was from God. Listen, his heavenly Father took care of him. Daniel and his friends began to serve the king in his palace and for the benefit of all Babylon. God increased Daniel's faith and he enlarged his portion. He began as a 16-year-old captive taken from his homeland, traveled 1,000 miles to Babylon in a prison camp, and God took care of him. God had a plan for Daniel's life. God had chosen Daniel all along for special service. And listen, God has chosen many of you watching here for a special service. And God has special service for all of his people. He's gifted them all for doing great and wonderful things. So often we hide that gift and God wants to bring it out. Daniel's gift was brought out. What Daniel or no one else really realized was that Daniel was the key to creating a group of wise men over in Babylon who served their new homeland well. Daniel worked his way up from a 16-year-old captive in the prison camp, finding favor and then going to the king's service, that he worked his way to the very top. See what God did. God took care of Daniel, took care of his friends, and brought him to the very chief position of the wise men of Babylon. And being over all the other wise men, Daniel did something. He taught them to read and to study the old scriptures. He taught them to study the Hebrew scriptures and the prophets. See, in years that follow, Babylon was defeated by the Persians. And over the centuries that followed, these wise men would study God's word, and they would study the stars and watch for the star of Bethlehem, where the promised Messiah of Israel would be born. These wise men from the east got their foundation from one wise man who was their devout leader, faithful to God, whose name was Daniel. It was wise men from the east who brought treasures to the Christ child. A tragic battle, a long journey, the faithfulness and obedience of a small group of Hebrew captives led to our amazing fulfillment, an amazing fulfillment of God's will for our salvation. What Daniel did, Daniel couldn't see centuries down, 5 centuries later. We had no clue and understanding back then, but God took Daniel out of his comfort zone, brought him over to Babylon, a 1,000-mile journey. He watched the death of many. He stood faithful to God. He found favor with God because of his faithfulness. And God worked him from the very bottom to the very top because God needed him there, because God wanted wise men in his Christmas story when Jesus was born. And Daniel's impact and influence over Babylon, over Persia too, led these wise men to watch for the birth of the Messiah back in the hometown where Daniel came from. And when Jesus was born, they saw the star shining and they made their way over back to Israel to find Christ child and bless him with gifts. Oh, you see how God works his greater plan out. Listen, we don't know what God is doing right now. We don't know all the things that God is doing in your life right now. But I know this, that God is removing some things. God is taking us out of our comfort zone like he had Daniel. God is taking you where all the things that you just got so soft to, and church really didn't matter, God really didn't matter, the things of the Lord didn't really matter to you. God just says, okay, I'll take all that stuff away from you. Now, where do you stand with the Lord? Will you be faithful? Or are you going to continue to trust yourself? Still continue to trust your world? Still continue to trust your health? Still continue to trust all the things that are very passing? Or are you going to trust me who's eternal? Oh, listen today. Trust God. Listen, call out to him in repentance, church. If there's something in your life that you know God is trying to remove, Lord, I'm just sorry that I allowed that to take your place. Listen, your Father wants you home. Maybe you're listening to this and you've never received Christ as your Savior. You're saying, Lord, I'm scared of this world. I'm scared what this is going to do because I don't know what my future is, my eternal future is with you, Lord. Listen today. God is waiting with open arms. Jesus died on a cross for a reason, to pay the sins of all people. All we have to do is to take on what he did in our behalf, is to believe he is who he says that he is. Jesus says he's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He came in our behalf. The Bible says God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die on a cross. He paid the consequences for your sins and mine so he wouldn't have to. Listen, all you have to do is say, Lord, make a heart and head decision. That's faith, Lord. You know my sins already. Lord, I believe that you are who you say that you are. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. and I accept your payment for my sin. I claim you as my own. Would you live inside of me? I give my life to you. I follow you by faith. Please forgive me. I repent of all those things. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for taking me to heaven when I die. Listen, if you pray something like that, just inviting Jesus into your life, faith and repentance, today you are born again. Today you've called Christ into your life, and you're now a disciple of His. My encouragement is to you to get plugged into a church. Wherever you are located, somewhere throughout this world, that you get plugged into a church nearby you, a Bible-believing church, that you can grow, you can plant yourself, and that you can serve the Lord and serve people. Oh, today, God has called you. He's allowed you to go through this difficult time for a greater purpose and for a greater reason. Be like a Daniel. Make your mind up who you're going to follow and stay faithful to God. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we just exalt you. Thank you for the life of Daniel. We can see so many things in his life and the troubles that he went through. God, we can even look in our world and begin to draw some small comparison. God, today there's someone listening who needs you. Lord, they're unsure about heaven being their home. They're still looking at trying to be a good person. And Lord, it's not about being a good person. We can never be good enough to earn heaven. We can only have heaven because of what Jesus did for us. And Lord, we're just under grace, that unmerited favor. And Lord, I pray that people will embrace Jesus Christ as Savior today. And Father, I pray for Christians who are coming to the realization that they've allowed a lot of things to take the place of God. And they've worshipped those things, even though they won't say it that way. Their actions prove it. And Father, today they come in the heart of repentance, like the prodigals coming home, God. Today we pray for revival among your church. And Lord, take your word, anointing of your Holy Spirit in each home today, each person that's listening, each person that's watching. Teach us about your word. Fill us, God, with your Spirit. Lord, just give us the fortitude we need to persevere through this time with greater faith and greater resolve to be people of God. In Jesus' name, amen.